Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to John chapter 15. I hope you do have a Bible. If not, there's some in front of you on the back of the pew. Today I want to speak on the subject of how to have fullness of joy. How to have fullness, and underscore that word, fullness of joy. One verse in John chapter 15, and we'll read verse 11. And then keep your place there because we'll be moving around in this chapter as we go along. I believe everyone in this building wants joy. I don't believe there's a person here in their right mind that does not want joy. And so we're going to deal with that subject today. Are you a joyful Christian? Well, we can have the fullness of joy. Some Baptists, I know, have a little bit of joy or a medium point of joy. But we want the fullness of joy. John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus said, I have my joy, and I want my joy to be in you, and I want your joy to be full. I heard about a woman that lost her car keys, and she was looking for them, and she went back in the house. You know how you do when you lose something like that. And so she went back in the house and looked in the cabinets and opened a lot of the drawers and went from room to room to room, and she couldn't find the keys. She started back out, and she found them in her purse. Well, what was her problem? She was looking for her keys in the wrong place. And a lot of people are looking for joy in the wrong place. And we have to find the right situation to give us the joy that God wants us to have. Now, there are a lot of reasons for our not having joy. But if you're saved today, if you're born again, you ought to have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Not just happiness, but the joy of the Lord. It ought to be contagious. It ought to be conspicuous. It ought to be continual. It shouldn't quit. But I'm afraid, probably, among other Christians and some in this room, hear me now, you've lost your joy. Some in this room right now have lost your joy. And I hope you get it back today. But we need that joy. H.A. Ironside said this, joy is more than peace. It is peace bubbling up. We need to have peace, but we need to have peace bubbling up in our lives, having peace. So, question number one, why is joy so important? We talk about joy. Why is it so important? Well, a lot of reasons, I believe. One reason it's important is because it affects our soul-winning ability. Joy affects our soul-winning and winning the lost. Do you know that joy is the best advertisement for bringing people to Christ or bringing them to this church? To have the joy of the Lord in our lives, and we need to have that joy. Some people don't advertise too well Christianity because they don't have that joy. David lost his joy. That's a sad thing. David said in Psalm 51, verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy God's salvation. That's where it comes from. Not mine, but thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And then, notice that word, and then, after you restore to me the joy of thy salvation, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Get the joy back, and you'll win more people to Christ if you really have the joy of the Lord. And unless you're a joyful Christian, you will not be an effective soul winner. A lot of Christians I know walk around with a Bible under one arm and a tombstone under the other one. or a dill pickle bottle or something. That's not good for Christianity. We need that joy. Joy is essential also. The second thing, in bearing life's burdens. We all have burdens. We need strength for life's burdens. They come along. Where do you find that strength? Where are you going to get that strength to stand up under life's burdens? Nehemiah gave us a strong hint in 8:10. He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And you say, "Well, I'm not strong." Well, maybe you don't have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord should be your strength. We should have that joy of the Lord. We need it we need it bearing life's burdens, and then because of the heartaches and trials of life. This is similar. But we all have heartache. Some of you in this building came in this morning with deep heartaches. Some of you have come in, and this past week has been one of the worst weeks of your life. You've had trials, maybe not the worst, but you've had trials. We come into the building and come to church, and we don't know what the other people sitting by us might be going through. But because of the heartaches and trials of life, we can overcome them. And I think it's through joy. Some pastor said it this way, joy is the lubricant of life. If you don't have joy, you're not going to be a lubricated Christian serving the Lord. Joy is important. So there's just a few reasons, and there are more. But secondly, we want to look at the joy that Jesus gives. The joy that Jesus gives. In John 15:11, the setting of this, you may not realize, just before dark Gethsemane and just before Jesus is going to be crucified. And here he is just before that takes place talking about joy, our having joy and his joy and him, his wanting to leave us joy, telling us how we should have joy. And he wants us to have joy like his. Look at the first part of verse 11. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you that..." Notice those next two words. What are they? My joy. My joy. He had joy. My joy. We ought to have joy like his joy. What kind of joy did Jesus have? What kind of joy did he have? Jesus had abounding joy. And he says that in that same verse, that your joy might be full. Abounding joy. God wants us to be abounding with the joy of the Lord. In Hebrews 1:9, he speaks of Jesus saying he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. The word gladness can be interpreted from the same word as joy. The joy of the Lord, the gladness that he had. He was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Jude 1:24, when he presents us to the Father, this is what he's talking about in that verse, verse 24, it says he will have exceeding joy. Jesus had joy. And just think of the joy he's going to have when he presents all that he's died for before the Father. Jesus is a man of joy, a God-man of joy, exceeding joy. It's not half-hearted joy. You don't find that in the life of Christ. Jesus Christ, I don't think, was a morbid, unapproachable, stoic person that was a sourpuss. I just don't believe Jesus was that way. I believe he had joy in his life. And I believe one of the proofs of that is little children loved him. I don't think if he didn't have any joy, they wouldn't want to get in his lap, sit in his lap, and love on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a joyful person. John 13:17, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. Jesus had joy. He's a joyful person, and he wants us to have joy in our lives. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. How often? Always. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say Rejoice. The only way to have His strength is to have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord gives us strength for all of these things we face. Now, there's a difference in happiness and joy. A big difference in happiness and joy. Now, happiness will put a smile on your face. Some of you need a little of that happiness this morning. Happiness will put a smile on your face, and you'll look better if you smile. And it's just part of it. It's just a friendly approach. But we need to realize that that is not, we don't go around all the time with some goony grin on our face. If I find somebody that has a goony grin on their face all the time, if they show up to the funeral home with a goony grin on their face, they're suspect to me. I don't know what they're up to. There's a time to weep, there's a time to cry, there's a time to laugh, so on and so forth. But always we should have joy. Always we should have joy, have the joy of the Lord. See, happiness, and that's the very thought of the word, happiness depends on circumstances, what's happening around you. If it's good, fine. If it's raining and cold and snowing in Lubbock, you may not like it. You know, it's what's around us that makes us happy and all of that. But joy depends on the Lord. Deep joy, real joy, no matter what the circumstances may be, we rejoice in the Lord and we have joy, not just happiness. Happiness is sort of like a thermometer. Thermometer just registers what's around it. But joy should be like a thermostat. And a thermometer just registers the conditions. But the joy controls, or the thermostat controls the conditions. And the joy of the Lord will do that for you and for me if we have the joy of the Lord. It is also abiding joy. It's abiding joy, abounding joy, and abiding joy. In verse 11, again, look at that verse. He said, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you. Remain, underline that word. This joy should remain in us. The joy of the Lord is not something that comes and goes. Happiness comes and goes, but the joy of the Lord should not be that way. We have good times, bad times, daytime, rainy time, sunshiny times, other kinds of times that come in our life, tragedies, all of that, but we still should have joy. Maybe not the happiness we think of. We ought to have that joy. People say, well, you just don't know my problems. Well, I may not know your problems, but I know Jesus had his. I know when he said this, he was facing Gethsemane. I know when he said this, when he talked about his joy, he was facing the cross. He was going to die on the old rugged cross. He was facing Calvary, but he had joy. And he tells us it should be abiding joy. It should be steadfast joy. John 16:20, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Our sorrow should be turned into joy. It can be if we are right with God. Can be if we understand He's indwelling us. So it is also triumphant in tribulation. I'm glad for that. Anybody here ever had any tribulation? I imagine so. You have it. Paul had it. Paul had trouble, didn't he? I mean, he had a lot of trouble. Paul, where are you going to spend the night? You just got in town. Well, I'll be in the local jail. Where are you going to be after that? Well, I'll be in the next town in another jail or another prison. But listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7:4. I am exceedingly, not just a little bit, but I'm exceedingly joyful in all my tribulations. Even in the midst of tribulations, Paul said, I'm joyful. And you remember what happened? Paul and Silas, what did they do? Complain, bellyache, and gripe of what God was doing with them? No. At midnight, they sang in the prison. They sang a song. Why? They had the joy of the Lord in their heart. They probably weren't happy about being in prison, in jail, but they had the joy of the Lord. And therefore, even there, as they were bound, they could sing to the glory of God. This joy also is lasting in the time of losses. When we have losses, Hebrews 10:34. And you took joyfully, notice what he's saying, and you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. What happened bad to you, you took it joyfully. I remember preaching in Roanoke, Virginia one time. I was preaching on a Sunday night, and I had preached that morning and then that night for the pastor. And so we got through. We went out. It was sort of cool that night. We went to this nice little restaurant, like, that had great chili. And I'll try to make you hungry now, and you'll want me to quit preaching earlier. But they had great chili, and he said, "Let's go get some chili, preacher." I said, "Let's go. I'm always ready to eat after I preach. I'm always ready to eat before I preach and after I preach." But anyway, we went out to get the chili, and all of a sudden he got his phone rang, and all of a sudden he looked pale. And I thought, what in the world? Somebody must have died. And he got through, and he laid the phone. He said, "You're not going to believe this." I said, "Well, what happened? What's going on?" He said, "While you were preaching," I might have preached too long, I don't know. But he said, "While you were preaching, somebody stole everything in our house, loaded up U-Haul, and left with all of our furniture, TV, couches, bedroom, and everything." And he said later, he talked to his neighbors and said, "We thought maybe you were moving. We didn't know. We didn't know what was happening." And they took everything in his house just about and loaded it up while I was preaching on a Sunday night at his church and left with it. Now, how would you react to that? How would you react if you had some problems very much like that today? I'm glad to report to you, he did not lose his joy. I can tell you he was not too happy. And he wanted them to get caught. And I think they finally did get caught. But we cannot afford to lose our joy. If we do lose our joy when something like that happens, if you do lose your joy when you have some problems or you run into some losses in your life, then here's the problem. You've been trusting the wrong thing for your joy. If your joy is in what you have and who you know and the money you have in the bank, listen, we never know which way it's going to go financially, do we? We never know those things. But what if you lost everything? I've seen people who lost just about all that they had. And some of them got bitter against God. I remember a couple of millionaires I had in, really multimillionaires, and I had them in during our stewardship emphasis and had them speak. And I was a member of the Kiwanis Club then, and I had them go down and speak there and all. And they were talking about, we went out to eat after church on Sunday night. They were talking about their Rolex watches, and both of them had one. I got my Timex and tapped it, you know, and I said, "Hey, mine keeps good time, too." And they were talking about, one of them was saying, "I was fishing the other day and almost lost that thing." You know, they're about $5,000 or $6,000 upward. And I was thinking about it. I thought, man, these millionaires worried about that. It wasn't too long from there that I got word that one of them lost everything he had. He invested in some real high speculative stuff, and he lost all that he had, basically lost it all. But you know what? As far as I know, he didn't lose the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord is something that's with us all the time and should remain there. And this joy should be abundant in the midst of afflictions that we have. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, "You have received the word in much affliction." Paul said, you Thessalonican Christians, you're going through a lot of hard times. You have received the word in the joy of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we have sickness. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's trouble at the house. But I want to tell you, God and God alone can give you that joy. And it's there. The joy that Jesus gives is real. It lasts. It's there all the time. No matter what we face, if we just appropriate the joy of the Lord. Thirdly, the receipt and the recipe for joy. What is it? What does the Bible say? we have to do to receive that. In verse 11, look at what he says at the first part of that verse. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Well, what things had he spoken to them? He said, I've told you these things up here so that the joy will remain in you. So if he said something about that, well, to check and see what he said. What was he talking about? What does he say? And he's talking about the vine and the branches and abiding in the vine and about our responsibility to do that. That's what he was talking about. The branches abiding in the vine. Jesus is the vine, and you and I are just the branches. But if we're going to have joy, we've got to abide in the vine. Abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean to abide? Some people say, we don't use that word a whole lot. What does it mean to abide in the Lord? What does it mean? Well, for one thing, it means for sure is surrender. To abide in the Lord means you surrender to the Lord. And you surrender everything. You know why he said in verse 5, look up at 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Then watch this phrase. For without me you can do nothing. That's pretty straight, isn't it? You've got to abide in him. Without me you can do nothing. We have to surrender to him. The branch has to make full surrender to the vine. Complete surrender to the vine. The branch exists for one reason, and that is to abide in the vine. That's the reason, so it can produce fruit. The branch exists for that. Now, we have to surrender. It's a type of our surrendering to God, abiding in the Lord, surrendering to the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever made a full and complete, total surrender of your life unto the Lord? Are you sure? Have you really made a full surrender unto the Lord? Let me take the time to quote F.B. Meyer, something that took place in his life. And Meyer was a well-known preacher, and already at that stage when this happened, of course, he became one of the great preachers of his time, but he wasn't really happy and joyful. And he saw a young man, he kept seeing him, came to his meeting, and he seemed to have the joy of the Lord. No matter what, he had the joy of the Lord. And so he went to him, and the man said to the young man, sir, can you tell me how to have the joy that you have? He said, it seems that you have something that I do not have. Can you tell me how? And the young man said, have you surrendered everything to Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered everything to Jesus Christ? Meyer said to him, well, in a general way I have. That's probably where a lot of Christians are. In a general way I have. The young man said, that's not good enough. Not in a general way. That's not good enough. Go alone tonight and get it settled. Go alone tonight and get it settled. And Meyer went to the bedroom and locked the door and got on his knees, and he said this, Lord, I'm going to get this settled tonight. And then he said, it seemed like I had a big bunch of keys, and I held them in up to the Lord and said, Lord, here are the keys to my life. Take them. And the Lord said, are they all there? Are all the keys there? Meyer said, well, they're all there except one little key, and I've kept it back. They're all there but one little key, and I've kept it back. And he said, it seemed like the Lord said, you must give me that one little key. You must give me that key. Lord, Meyer said, Lord, I don't have the strength to give you this last key. But Lord, would you take it from me? Lord, would you take it from me? He said, as it were, the Lord opened his fingers and got that little key. and went into the cupboard and opened it, and inside was vileness and wickedness and sin. When he opened it up, Meyer said he had not realized the importance of what he was holding back from the Lord and what it meant. He turned from that sin that represented and said that night, the desire for that, talking about that sin he had in his life, died in my heart. And then he said, I went to sleep expecting to wake up in the morning with hallelujahs and praises. But then he said, no, instead I just had a quiet confidence, and I found myself all day long saying, I am his. I am his. I am his. I am completely his. And that's the way it should be. A life of surrender, completely his. And then abiding means a life of dependence. In verse 5, he said, as we mentioned, without me, you can do nothing. He said, well, I can do some things. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Anything of eternal value, you can't do it apart from Jesus. Without me, he said, you can do nothing. Tell me what a branch can do without the vine. Die, shrivel, and be burned up. We've got to abide in the vine. Abide is important. A life of dependence. Also, abiding is a life, thank God, of rest. A life of rest. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, and God the Father loved his Son, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. God loves me, and I love you. Continue ye in my love. Did you know today, friend, we try to be so particular and so narrow-minded on ourselves sometimes, and we try to be so perfect that we forget that God loves us. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to sin sometimes. All of us do. But my friend, you just have to understand that you're abiding in his love and that God loves you. And if you abide in him, you're going to have that joy of the Lord. It's going to be there. The fact that God loves me gives me joy. I'm glad he loves me. I'm not so sure I love a lot about me. But God loves you. You say, oh, nobody loves me. Yes, God loves you. Whoever you are, whatever your past, whatever you've done, however you've been mistreated, God loves you. Then to abide means we obey him. Look at verse 10 back in our text. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus said, I abide in the Father's love, and you should abide in my love and keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments, John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. God loves me, and if you love me, you keep my commandments, and God will manifest himself unto you. How does he manifest himself to us? How does he do that? I think it is in joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. When we obey him and live for him, then he manifests that he's pleased with us, that he loves us, and that joy is in our lives and in our hearts. Now go back to verse 11, full circle. We're already coming back to it now. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, he had total joy, might remain in you. Remain, stay there. And that your joy might be full, abundantly full. That's one way the word could be spoken. One word it could be given to us from the very word of God. That we have fullness of joy. Not just joy. Not just a little bit of joy. But no matter what comes, no matter what we face, no matter where we go, no matter what the future holds, No matter who's disappointed us. Hey, there are some joy robbers, by the way. Sin and bitterness and anger and all that. People who have bitterness in their heart, they don't have joy. People who are jealous, they don't have joy, so on and so forth. But we're back to what he was talking about. All of us have problems, and we need joy. All of us can have that joy. Let me tell you one way you can rejoice, no matter what. We can always rejoice, no matter what. Rejoice, why? Because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. If you don't have anything else to rejoice about today, rejoice in that. Whew, I'm so glad I'm going to heaven. I'm so thrilled that I'm not going to die and go to hell. Can you imagine going to hell and being there forever and ever and ever without love, without light, without anything that is good, and never to get out? There's no such way taught in the Bible that you can ever get out of hell, ever, ever, ever. But I thank God I rejoice every day, and I love to rejoice when I think about it every day. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise God, and when I die, I'm going to heaven. Or when I get raptured, I'm going to heaven. Thank God for that. Rejoice. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. By the way, is your name written in heaven? There's the Lamb's Book of Life up there. Is your name written in heaven? If it isn't, it needs to be, because you'll die and go to hell if your name is not written in heaven. If it's not in the Lamb's Book of Life. By the way, once it's there, it's going to stay there. You don't lose it. But the only way you're going to find that joy is through Jesus. And life is basically meaningless without Jesus and without joy. It's basically meaningless when you add it all up. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Before we get into our invitation, while every head is bowed, dear friend, I ask, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you ready to meet God? Are you going to heaven? If you died today, this day, and who knows what will happen, hear me now. Don't let anything distract you. May you just come back in focus just for a moment. May I say to you, if you're not sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're not sure your sins are forgiven, and that the joy of the Lord is in your heart, I want you to pray a prayer something like this right now. While our heads are bowed, if you want to be saved and you want that joy, you want your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, pray a prayer like this, something like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And dear God, I believe you gave Jesus to die for me. And you said if I would ask you to save me, you'd save me. I'm asking you right now, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray and ask you to save me. And I thank you that you love me enough, God, to give your Son to die and pay my sin debt. And today I receive him as my Savior. Now let me say something here. You need, if you prayed that prayer, to make that public. It should be made public. Someone has said it this way, the faith that will not lead to confession will not lead to heaven. If you're saved, you shouldn't mind confessing Christ. And that's to be done public. He said, if you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So what we want you to do, if you prayed that prayer, just step out in a few moments and come forward and let us know that you prayed that prayer. And we'll take it from there if you'll do that. There are a lot of you that are Christians that have lost your joy for one reason or the other. Maybe it's some sin you're practicing. Maybe something else in your life. I don't know. But we should have the joy of the Lord today. Do you really and truly have abundant joy? And you say, no, preacher, I don't have it. Then why don't you come and renew it today at this altar? Kneel down and say, God, I want to renew my joy. I want to be a joyful, a completely joyful, abundantly joyful Christian. I want to be that for your glory, to win souls and to be what you want me to be. Father, bless in the invitation. It is yours. The message has been delivered. The Holy Spirit has done his work. And now may we see the results of that, whether it's there in the pew or whether it's here at the altar. May you work, Holy Spirit. May you draw those who prayed and asked Christ to come into their heart to make a public profession of faith in Jesus. And even now, if they haven't yet prayed that prayer, that they'd come and let someone pray it with them, show them how to be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.